Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Simone Zeichman, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Commerce. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Cayata.
I'd like to discuss open data and big data and what they mean for the Commerce Department. How are they at the forefront of government tech policy, and to what extent do they represent the next phase of the technological revolution that you see within the government?
Well, open data and big data are two different things, and there aren't necessarily common definitions that everybody agrees on. So without getting into the details of what the definitions are, in my view, open data really focuses on how the government can more effectively make use of the data that it has. How can we use it ourselves better, but more importantly, how can we share it to either increase transparency, to provide more information to our stakeholders, constituents, citizens, both so that they understand what the government is doing, so that they can hold the government accountable for the use of taxpayer funds, but ideally so that they can use the data in new and novel ways that the government is not doing. I spoke earlier about the new strategic vision at the Department of Commerce, our strategic plan that's focusing on, among other things, data. What we'd like to be able to do is take the data products that the Commerce Department has and the data that we have and expand them significantly. Right now, we publish only a small portion of the data that we actually either collect or create ourselves simply because these data collections are so large. If you're looking at weather data, we're talking literally petabytes of data per day that are being acquired, analyzed, and produced. But the idea being that by increasing the amount of data that we put out there, industry, individual citizens, companies might identify new ways of using this data, and that could lead to new jobs, new markets, new types of products. And so from our perspective, there may be ideas that the Commerce Department has that we don't have resources to pursue on what could be done with our data. And maybe by putting it out there, the private sector can do things with it. There may be areas where we might have ideas, but it's not our mission to do something. But maybe the private sector would create a new company around providing a service to citizens. And most importantly, we don't pretend that we've cornered the market on good ideas. And so if we just put data out there, there may be other people who are creative enough to come up with innovative ways to use the data for a variety of ways that can provide societal benefit or economic benefit to the country. Now, big data is a little bit different. Big data typically focuses on dealing with data in larger scales, whether it's moving data more quickly, whether it's a need to analyze data more quickly, whether it's vast amounts of data, just the basic quantity of data that's larger than typical. And so our mission as it relates to big data, again, is more linked to the mission delivery than it is to the kinds of commodity things that I'm involved with. The Census Bureau collects data on over 320 million households across the United States. And so you can imagine that they deal with large amounts of data. I just talked about NOAA and the National Weather Service. Just for the climate prediction and weather modeling, they deal with petabytes of data per day. NIST, in a variety of research capacity, deals with large data sets to support different aspects of their research mission. Patent and Trademark Office has documented patents going all the way back to the 1800s. So you can imagine that they deal with some pretty large sets of data as well. But how they use that data, the kinds of infrastructure that they need to support the mission relating to that data, does vary from one organization to another. And so our big data initiatives are typically linked to the mission. We don't have a single big data strategy or a big data initiative for the entire department, because the way big data is emerging from mission delivery and the way big data supports the mission varies from one organization to the next.
Simone, I have the pleasure of talking to many of our guests about collaboration and partnership among agencies and the private sector to achieve mission outcomes. Would you tell us about your efforts to leverage partnerships to improve IT outcomes?
Yes, we've been involved in a variety of partnerships. One of the things that I try to do frequently is just get out there and talk to people. And so if somebody were to Google my name, you'd see that I've been interviewed a frequent number of times, and even more frequently I'm on panels or giving talks, whether it's a keynote talk or serving as a panelist in a day-long or a multi-day workshop or conference. And part of the reason here is really to foster that kind of collaboration. I think it's an important part of my role to communicate to the private sector what it is that we do, where we're going, what our strategy is, what our priorities are, because ultimately that better enables the private sector to position themselves to meet our requirements in the most effective way, in the most cost-effective way. And so in my view, the communication between the government and the private sector is a key to allowing the private sector to support our mission, to support the kinds of things that we need from a technology perspective. There's also a fair bit of collaboration going on across agencies. Through the CIO Council is one of the principal mechanisms, but underneath the CIO Council, there's a shared services subcommittee that's now in place, and that shared services subcommittee is co-chaired by the CIO of NOAA, one of the Commerce Bureaus, and brings together representatives from a large number of different federal agencies to collaborate on shared services strategy, sharing of best practices, different types of models, exchanging information across agencies on how shared services are being implemented, how it's being done well, identifying opportunities for new shared services, trying to foster greater use of shared services across agencies and not solely within agencies. And that's just one example. There's another large focus on security and credentialing and identity management underneath the Federal CIO Council at the committee level. So there's quite a bit of collaboration, I would say, both between the government and the private sector and also across agencies on helping to improve IT management in general.
So given the critical role technology plays in the mission and delivery, how has the role of the CIO evolved to that of a trusted advisor? And what are the characteristics of a successful CIO?
Well, obviously, the role of the CIO has evolved a lot over the years. I mean, CIOs before the title of CIO even existed were information resource managers, and they were often viewed as the people who just kept the computers running. And I think the role of the CIO has certainly evolved into something that's much more strategic today. Many of the CIOs are as much business leaders and strategic thinkers as they are people who understand IT operations. And in fact, in my own case, I maybe would claim that I'm more of an operator at the strategic and business level than I am at the operations level, just based on my background and not having come up through the operations world in CIO organizations. So I think the real benefit, at least one of the real benefits that a CIO can bring to a large agency, is that trusted advisor. Who is it that's really going to help understand from a strategic level how IT can be used to better support the mission delivery, how to improve the experience for customers, whether those customers are internal agency users, whether they're stakeholders or users of government systems outside of the federal government. And that trusted advisor role, I think, is one of the most significant evolutions in the CIO role over time.
So, Simone, as we think about the future, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter, and how do you think you'll address those?
I think I would say what I'm anticipating is that the challenges are not going to be revolutionary challenges, but I think one of the things that we're going to see is just an accelerating pace of many of the trends that we've already seen. Cloud computing is a good example where the private sector moved out into the cloud computing arena before the federal government did, but I think now we're starting to see an acceleration of federal systems moving into the cloud. Part of that, I think, is improved trust in cloud computing as a model for IT service delivery infrastructure. Part of it, I think, is a maturation of the security framework and security policies around federal cloud computing, and that's allowed agencies to start moving more aggressively down that path. I think the trend that we talked about earlier of how commercial technologies and consumer technologies are driving decision-making on the federal side of IT is something that probably will continue, if not accelerate. And so I think as IT decision makers, IT managers, and leaders, we're going to have to continue to be agile and nimble if we want to be able to continue to meet other people's expectations. I think that the expectations and demands for what IT does in the federal space and how IT does it will increase. People will expect more. They'll expect new things to be possible. They'll expect to be able to do in the workplace what they can already sometimes do at home or what their counterparts in the private sector are doing. And so we're going to have to be able to step up and meet those demands as a community.
So what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
I have spent my whole career working in the federal government, and for me, it's been an absolutely great experience. At times, the government has received a bad rap in the press, but I think the government is a great place to work. And so my advice would be to pursue it, to educate yourself. The government has an unbelievably diverse set of missions. And so I think anybody would be hard-pressed to find something that they're passionate about that doesn't exist somewhere in the federal government. And that's not always true in the private sector. So I think there are a huge number of career opportunities. I think that at least within the IT world, there are a large number of people who are very committed to supporting agencies, supporting the agency mission, because the people themselves who work in these organizations are also passionate about what the agencies do. And I think it's a great place to work.
Great. Simone, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy day and joining us today. But more importantly, Paul and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. The only thing that I can really say in response is that everything that happens at Commerce, at least at my level, is a team effort. I have, you know, I've talked several times about collaboration. I have great people that support me directly, but also some other really forward-thinking and visionary people in senior leadership and CIO positions at other parts of the Commerce Department. And so what I would say with a lot of sincerity is that anything that I can claim as a success would not have been a success if I were the only one involved doing it.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Simone Zeichman, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Commerce. My co-host from IBM has been Paul Cayatta. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.